Well, tonight, to open your Bibles back to Epistle of 1 John, we're going to finish our message from Sunday night. We didn't quite get to the end of that. Tends to be a problem, I guess, for me. But we're going to be back in 1 John, and I'm going to finish up what we were talking about a new outlook on commandments, a new outlook on commandments. And we'll finish up some things of talking about the commandments, what the world thinks about them, and then how we as believers are to have a different mindset. In 1 John chapter 5, let's go to verses 3 and 4, actually 3, 4, and 5, and read those verses again and remind ourselves where we were on Sunday night. Verse number 3 of 1 John chapter 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? As we were talking about last time on Sunday night, we mentioned the way that the world views the commandments of God. Down at the end of verse number 3, His commandments are not grievous. We spent some time talking about the Lord and how He mentioned that passage back in Matthew, taking His yoke and learning of Him because His yoke is easy, His burden is light, and He will give you rest as you work and submit to Him. And we spent some time talking about that, but we also discussed the fact that the world would like you to believe that God's way is a hard way. They want you to believe that God's way is just full of these regulations and rules and nitpicky stuff, and it's just legalism. That's what God's way is, legalism. And I don't know, many times Christians sometimes get accused of being legalistic, and I know you can be. You can come to the point where you think that all the little things you're doing right are what are leading you to salvation, and that's what saves you. But of course, we don't believe in that. That would be a work salvation. But many people look at the Christian life and say, look at what those people are doing. Look at how they're dressing. Look at the things that they don't do and the things that they don't bring into their families. And boy, those are just some legalistic people. I don't like that. And the world makes it out to be that this is grievous, this is burdensome, this is hard for you as a Christian. And they paint this picture of the grievous, burdensome, terrible, awful commandments of God's Word. And as we see here in verse number 3, that as we love our Savior and we see what He's done for us, we see as a now adopted son in the family of God through the new birth, His commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome to us because we have a heart of love, a new heart that has given us a new mindset, that has given us a new perspective on what God has done, and we do not view His commandments as grievous. Now in verse number 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The world with its mindset of how terrible God's commandments are. We as believers have to overcome the world. We have to overcome that mindset. And this is why John is bringing up the world. The world is going to try to convince you that God's way is a difficult way. It's hard to bear, but we as believers, John is assuring us that we have something. We have victory over the world. We have victory over the things that they try to push upon us. Because we're in Christ, we know that His commandments are not burdensome. They're not hard to bear. Our heart has been changed, and we can now know this victory over the world because we're in someone who has achieved that victory for us. The reason we don't have to listen to the world, the reason why we don't have to listen to this mindset about the grievous and burdensome commandments is because we believe in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith in verse number 4. This is what overcomes the world, even our faith, our belief in Him, what He's done for us, and the new birth and the changing of our minds and heart, that gives us strength and power outside of ourselves to overcome the world. Of course, in our own self, we mentioned this Sunday night, we would never be able to overcome the world in our own flesh because our natural man loves the world. We gravitate to it. We go to that. We think it's great and wonderful. We don't think about the consequences of it, but our heart and flesh wants to be satisfied by the world and its allurements, and it's so enamoring to us. The world knows just how to appeal to us. It knows how to hang the flashy things in front of us to try to make us, oh, that looks pretty good, and satisfy our worldly desires. But you may ask, how does belief in Christ, this is obviously in verse number 4, our faith, our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is what gives us victory over the world. Well, you may say, how is that? The answer really is quite simple, and I want to look at some other passages tonight as we see this, but Christ has given us, in short, the Holy Spirit. He's given us some power outside of ourselves. that allows us to overcome the world, that allows us to overcome that system. I want us to go to the familiar Gospel of John. Again, John wrote the epistle. He also wrote these passages based on his remembrances and inspiration of the Holy Spirit and when he was with Christ in those last few hours before the crucifixion. Again, very familiar passages. And I want to look at several verses in John 14 and 15 and on into chapter 17 as well to understand something tonight, that we don't have to live in defeat. Many people kind of, it's easy and it's tempting to just quit. Well, there's no way we can defeat this. We're just going to have to live with this and live with sin and you know, we'll just satisfy the flesh and there's nothing we can do about it. Well, the Lord has saved us and He's given us His Holy Spirit so that we can have power outside of ourselves to have victory. Look at chapter 14, verse number 15. This relates so well to what John has been talking about in his epistle. Chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world doesn't have that Spirit. It seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. God's people, we know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 15, keep the commandments. Well, how do we do that? Because the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the world doesn't know anything about the Spirit of God. It can't, as 1 Corinthians says, it can't know it, it can't receive it. It's natural to them. They can't understand that as a natural man. It takes a spiritual man to know these things. And the world can't see, the world can't receive, the world can't know the Holy Spirit. But we have been given that precious gift. And it is to give us strength, it's to give us power. He dwells in us and shall be with us. And we will be able to overcome the world. You know, the world doesn't see Him. They see the spirit of Antichrist. They see the spirit of Satan and what he wants to do. They know not the spirit of truth, but the spirit of darkness, which John also talked about in his epistle. And the Spirit of God is greater than that spirit that exists in the world. There is a spirit in the world. I know as we look around the world and its system, you can sense it. We were talking at lunch today about that, about some of the, I guess, you know, America is getting wicked, we can see, but we were talking about some of the other places in the world where sin and certain things are just very dark, very open, very obvious, and you kind of come away sensing the darkness and the power of that darkness. I remember Pastor talking about being in India and Haiti, and especially, I believe, in Haiti with the voodoo and those kind of things and the screeching at night and the witch doctors and all those kind of things, and you just sense the power and the spirit of darkness. It is. It exists. It's real because it's Satan and his system. But the world knows that spirit. It's a spirit of darkness. It's a spirit of bondage. A spirit of oppression. But as God's people, we have a spirit from God. It is the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of truth. And He will dwell in us and will be in us. This is the Spirit that is with God's children as newborn people, I'm glad that the Lord has given us that at the new birth, at salvation. I know there's some that teach that you have to kind of live the Christian life for a while and reach certain stages before you can get the Holy Spirit. But I tell you, we couldn't survive one day as a believer without the Holy Spirit. And He's been given to us, and He guides us, and we can rely on His strength to overcome the world. If we try to overcome our fleshly desires, whatever it may be, for music or dress or things we like to do that just appeals to our flesh, we can't defeat it. We can't overcome it. But in Christ and in His strength, giving it to Him, we can. Look it down now to verse number 23. Verse number 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, He will keep my words. Again, very similar to what 1 John is saying. Love and keep. My Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Here, this relationship of loving God and keeping the commandments. On down into verse number 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Those who love will keep the words of God, and the abode of God will be made with you. How does God abide with us? Again, it's through the Holy Spirit that God has given us. Go to John chapter 15. Just flip a page maybe over in your Bibles. John chapter 15. Here's another reason why we have victory over the world. Another reason why we have victory. Chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Another reason we have victory over the world is because Christ has laid down his life for us. And as we've seen in 1 John, we're co-inheritors. We're with Christ. And in the book of Hebrews, he calls us his brethren. Boy, what a privilege. He doesn't call us his servants and order us around. He looks at us as friends and brethren, and he gave his life for us as the sons of God. God loves us as much as he has, just as he loves his only begotten son. He has that same love. These are now his adopted sons. And we can't hardly fathom that, to think of why God would have such love for us as sinners. We should be the servants. We should be the slaves. We should be the nothing. But he has called us his friends. He is there right with us as we go through this battle with the world and with the spirit of darkness. We've got the Holy Spirit, yes, and we have our friend, our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the book of Hebrews says. And he is there with us to help us get that victory, to bring the victory to us when the world tries to overcome us and the world tries to have its power over us. Look at verses 18 and 19 of the same chapter. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now that is the system of the world. It hates the Lord Jesus Christ. And many times I wonder, you know, take inventory perhaps over your own life and think, you know, what? I know this is kind of weird to ask yourself, but does the world hate what you do? Is what you do contrary to the things of the world, or does what you do blend in and match and kind of go along with what the world does? The Lord says if we are His own, the world's going to hate us. It shouldn't be a surprise. And many times today we see Christians or professing Christians trying to make themselves appealing to the world or make themselves look good in front of the world and trying to kind of blend in. And well, you know, we want them to think this of us. They're going to hate you. You may be able to try to manipulate that and appear a certain way in front of the world. And, oh, see, I finally got their approval. And some people live for the approval of the world. And you may get the approval of the world. But the world only gives approval for a short time. And then it just manifests its hatred right back again. And we're so foolish many times to fall for that. As Christians, as believers, we should not be surprised that the world hates us. They are completely contrary to the mission of Christ, to the Spirit of God. And He has chosen us out of the world, separated us, chosen us out of it. And how sad, as Christians, we think we need to get back in the world. We are gravitated to it, especially many times, like I said Sunday night, I remember being a teenager. I remember being gravitated to those things. I remember the world. And I believe, I don't know, it's probably 20 years ago, it's probably a lot worse. We know it's a lot worse than when I was a teenager. And I had a hard time with it. And I'm sure many of you could give testimony to the same fact. But the Lord called us out of that, and yet we're so tempted to go back to it. We're so tempted to think we got to get the world again, and the desires of our flesh just kind of rise up so hard and fast in our minds and flesh, and we just want to go get what we want to do. And the Lord has called us and chosen us out of the world. And the world would hate us. If you know that it hated Christ, look what Satan, his program, his world system is totally against what Christ is doing. But this should be an encouraging fact for us, because Christ was victorious over the world that hated Him. And as His people, we also can be victorious because we are in Him and He already overcame the world. Look at one last passage here in John chapter 17. Flip over to John chapter 17. Another area of having the victory over the world. You know, we have the victory because Christ knows that we're in the world. Obviously, we live in the world. But as He says in this chapter, we are not of the world. Look at verse 9 and then a couple other verses. Verse 9 says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Boy, some people say, well, Jesus, that's not very loving. That's not very kind. You should be praying for the world. He's interceding for His people. He's interceding for you tonight. He's praying for you. He wants you to have the victory. He wants you to have the strength. And He's praying for you. He's not praying for the world, but for those Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. Go to verse 14. I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. If you don't like the hate of the world, if you can't stand, maybe, put it in a teenager language, I guess, oh, the friends in the neighborhood or people I know that don't go to church, they don't like me very much. They think I'm weird and odd, so I got to kind of try to mix in and blend in with them, and we got to dress just like them and talk about the things they talk about, watch the things they watch, listen to the things they listen. So we're just right up, ready to go with them. We're keeping up with all the things that are going on. Here it says in this passage that the world hath hated them because they are not of the world. If we are trying to be of the world and the world's not hating us, maybe there's a problem in our hearts. We need to do some inventory. But God, the Lord has given us His word, and the world is going to hate us when we follow God's word. Verse 15. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world. That'd be pretty easy, wouldn't it? You ever get sick and tired of the world and how difficult it is sometimes to put up with the world and the darkness of the world? I told you before, I can't even stand watching the news. I just get upset. I just go on about all the things that are happening and crazy things that people are doing. It's just, ugh, I don't even want to hear it anymore. Lord, it's almost like, Lord, just get me out of here. That's an easy fix. But I tell you, He may want us to bear through. And He says here, I'm not praying to take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from the evil. Now, what good is it as a believer if the Lord is praying to keep me out of the evil, and so many times I just follow the temptation and run right to it? That doesn't make much sense. But I mean, again, I remember being a teenager. I remember even now, it doesn't matter what age you are. I know I say teenager a lot because that's what sticks out in my mind when I was a teenager and how the struggles that I went through. But it doesn't matter what age you are. The Lord's praying for us to not go to the world and to be kept from the world while we're in it, and yet we are over here doing these things to mix in with the world and trying to have it all together. And, well, I can go to church and I can be a Christian and yeah, I'll go to the Christian school and I'll do all those things, but, you know, as long as I can have my music, as long as I can have my little things that I like to do to dress and my little secret things I do online that my parents don't know about, as long as I can have all those things, that's the world. And Christ is praying to keep us out of it, and we're trying to run into it. God has given us His word. The world hates us, and Christ is praying that we should be kept from the evil of the world. Now, that is one of the great reasons why we can have the victory. Our Savior is praying for us to be kept from the evil of the world. And if we are naive enough to believe that the world is not evil, then that's a whole nother issue. Many times we're so good at convincing ourselves that things aren't really as bad as they are. And we look at things and we get deceived, and the Satan is so slick with his plan and his program, and we get deceived into thinking, well, it's not too bad. We've got to recognize that the world is evil. And it is pushing to entrap Christians. The devil is a roaring lion, as we saw in 1 Peter several years ago. He's out to get you. He wants his program to succeed. And the Lord is praying. He knows we have to live here, but He's praying that we should be kept from the evil. This is why we can have victory over the world. Christ is with us as a friend, as a brother. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's praying for us. Everything is going for us to have the victory. We've got Christ, our brother and our friend. We've got the Holy Spirit and His power. We've got the very prayers of the Son of God, all to keep us from the evil of the world. And many times we just turn away from that and go do what we want to do anyway. And we go our way. You know, as that old hymn says, we've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. That's what the Lord is. He's our friend and our brother, and He's there guiding, directing, wanting us to be kept from the evil of the world. You know, the world is indeed fighting to oppose God, oppose His plans. And the world, many times, if you go back to 1 John, we'll conclude. Many times the world here has been defined many different ways, but back in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it mentions, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. What is the world? We've seen it back in 1 John chapter 2 when he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And he mentions the avenues of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and all those things. But what is the world? It's been defined many different ways, but I found a good definition. It's the sum of all the limited transitory powers. What does that mean? They're limited, they're finite, and they change all the time. Limited transitory powers that are opposed to God, which make obedience difficult sometimes for the believer. That's what the world wants to do. The world wants you to think the commandments are grievous. You can't fulfill them. You can't obey them. Quit trying. That's what the world wants you to believe. But through the new birth, through its power, through Christ and all those things we saw in the Gospel of John, we can recognize that this system opposes God. We can reject this system through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're already victorious in Christ. He's praying for us to be kept from the world. But many times we tend to live as if we've been defeated by the world. And this is where the faith that John talks about in verse number 4 comes in. It's the exercise of our belief in the power of God. We believe in the Son of God, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that the God-man Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He was fully man, fully God, and he came to pay for our sins. The whole basis of the power and victory that we can have is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Belief that he's the Son of God. That's the foundation of the entire gospel. That's the assurance that we have of the victory. And then tonight, are we bringing in the world to our lives? Are we attracted to the world? Or are we relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the world? Keep reaching that point, as we mentioned Sunday night, reaching that point where we're just sick of it. Lord, I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want my way anymore. I want to follow you and your way, your will, your word, and what it describes for my life. And the Holy Spirit has the power for us to do those things. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you that we have our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our friend and our brother. And Lord, I ask that tonight you would help us not to be enamored by the world. Help us, Father, not to bring in things into our lives and allow things to creep into our homes that are just nothing but the world. Give us wisdom, Lord, as parents. Give us wisdom as individual people here tonight, that we would not bring in this evil, bring in this world to our lives. But Lord, we have the victory through Christ, and we just thank you that you pray for us and that you're close to us tonight. Be now, Lord, with the rest of our service as we take prayer requests and bring them to you. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.